Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom's Way tonight. For anybody that's opened, has opened this message by podcast or from our website, please understand this is a live teleconference meeting. That means that there'll be people calling in from all over the place. We'll give them 3 to 5 minutes to get here. And any time, podcasters, digital listeners, anytime you'd like to join us live, you can dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363-POUND, Monday nights, Friday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So welcome again. If you'd like to say hello, now's a good time to do that.
Hi, Vicki. Steve Ashley.
Hey, Steve. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Anybody else on yet that wants to say hello? Welcome.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, Vicki.
Oh, okay.
Is that Helen?
Yes, It's very quiet on your end.
Oh, okay. Well, at least I'm not
Oh, that's okay. I know. I just panicked a little because I thought I was late.
No. You're fine. Anybody else want to say hello so far? We still got a couple
Miss
minutes.
Hello, Miss Vicki. Miss Vicki, sorry I stepped on her. I didn't mean to talk over her. Morning,
no
or afternoon.
Problem.
My morning, your afternoon.
Yeah. That's right. Hallelujah. Some people's day starts at night.
If you can, please keep Annette in prayer. She's in Ecuador.
Oh, my. Okay.
Or two other ladies up there in Ecuador meeting with India and Bascom. Or staying with them, I should say. They've been there since 12. Tuesday morning.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, man, I got to say a couple. Got to say a little bit with them. Okay, I'm gonna mute back out.
Okay. All right. Anybody else want to say hello?
Hello, Vicki. It's Antoinette.
Thank you for being here, Antoinette.
My pleasure. My privilege.
Mine too. Okie dokie.
Hi, Vicki. This is Judy.
Hey, Judy. Welcome.
Thanks, honey. Have a blessed night.
Thank you, dear. Okay, anybody else before I mute your telephones? Okay, hang on. I am going to mute your phones. For anyone who might be new on the line, what that means is you can make all the noise you want to on your end, and it won't disturb anyone's phone line so that you'll all be able to clearly hear. Okay, praise the Lord. Who are we?
Good evening. We are Freedom's Way Ministries. My name is Phil Burdett, and I'm here with my wife, Vicki, And we have a message tonight. This is our Monday night call. We also have a Friday night call. And we have been on several series lately. One has been How to Cleanse Your Home. And today, part one on how the open doors in our life allow the enemy to get in and wreak havoc. And we're going to be on that tonight. You will be blessed. Our mission is to help anyone who wants to come into their full, true identity in Christ, walk in all the benefits and the power, the kingdom authority on earth that God offers in his covenant. And anything we can do to help you be experiencing the benefits, being experiencing the power, that is our mission, and we are glad to do it. So we're going to get on with our message tonight. I'm going to pray us in. We'll get started. You will be blessed. God bless you as you're here. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your anointing, your presence on this word. We thank you, Lord, that it will accomplish what you sent it to do because your word does not return void. And we thank you, Lord, that it will be heard by who you intended to be heard by, and it will bless them in amazing ways to help their growth in you skyrocket their spiritual life and power and authority. So I thank you, Lord, for the anointing, and I loose the Holy Spirit and say, have your way tonight in this meeting, and in the name of Jesus, I turn aside any assignment against this message that would cause any kind of confusion, blunt its power, or even any retaliation for receiving truth from the enemy. You are bound. We say, get behind us, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And we say, Holy Spirit, have your way. And we thank you, Lord, that you're bringing it to pass in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. As Phil said, this is the first in a series that we're calling How Satan Gets in the Door. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be exploring four areas where the devil takes liberty in our lives to bring curses to pass because he has a legal right to. As we've said many times, Satan is a legalist. He looks for open doors to step through so that he can afflict us. If there is a place within us that has not been given over wholly and completely to the Lord God, then the devil is going to claim it as his own. And truly, he does have the right to claim it, because in our ignorance, we've disagreed with God in that area of our lives, and Satan considers any disagreement with God as an agreement with him. So he begins to work to destroy us. You know, one thing that we've realized is this. The only thing that we truly own, the only thing that is 100% our own, that is our will. Even the good we do doesn't belong to us. We can't claim credit for doing good, because our doing good is the Holy Spirit working in us and manifesting through us that produces good works. If we're doing good works from any other motive than love, they're dead works. And they're manifestations of evil spirits called self-righteousness and pride. Some of you have heard us say this before. The only thing we have that is truly our own is our will. We get to choose. Hallelujah. We have God. We have an enemy.
Let's go back where we were.
All right. Praise the Lord. A little technical difficulty. I still can't hear.
Okay, let me have a minute.
All right. Would someone out there unmute your phone if you can hear me? And just let me know that.
Hi, I can hear you.
We can hear you. Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, super. All right. If y'all would go ahead then and mute yourselves back out. We're going to start back at we have God and we have an enemy.
Hallelujah. We have God and we have an enemy. Both want to access us. God wants to express himself through us. He wants us to die to ourselves and what we want so that he can work his works in the earth. Satan and his demons also want to express themselves through us. Two of the primary ways they accomplish this are through deception and fear.
Wow.
If the devil can keep you in fear, you are his. He has snared you, and the way out is 2 Timothy 2:25-26. We pray that God would give us his gift of repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that we can recover ourselves from that snare.
What did I read that scripture?
2 Timothy 2:24-26. And the servant of God must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves. Let me just say that again, because that really struck me. I've read it many times. The servant of God must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may cover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We must agree with God that we were not given a spirit of fear, but that we have all the fullness of the Godhead in us because of Jesus and his finished work on the cross. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Thank you, Lord.
We have the Spirit of God in its entirety. Therefore, we should never entertain fear of any kind, for any reason, at any time. I should say that again. We should not entertain fear of any kind, for any reason, at any time. Because we have the entirety of God. Power represents the Holy Spirit who empowers us to overcome adversity. Love represents God the Father who gave his only begotten Son that we might be reconciled back to him and have relationship with our Father. And the sound mind represents Jesus Christ, who gives us wisdom through the Word to cleanse and to refresh us. No reason to fear. Once we grasp the truth that God really is bigger than the boogeyman, and that he really cares about us, and that he can do a better job with our lives than we can. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Then fear won't have a chance to mess us up. There will no longer be an open door to fear when you have the perfect love of God that casts out all fear, living and working in you. So the other big weapon that Satan uses is deception. God doesn't want us ignorant of the devil's ways. Ephesians says God wants us to stand ready and equipped to withstand the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, that word wiles, it translates traveling over, travesty, trickery, to lie in wait, like an ambush. It comes from a combination of other Greek words that mean traveling in accompaniment with or in close proximity to. And the Strong's Concordance tells us to compare the word method. So we can reason then that the wiles of the devil are always moving around us. They are accompanying us in our travels, and they carry a purpose, and they have a method. And that purpose, of course, is to gain our agreement, and their method is deception.
Amen. Very prevalent in the world today. You know, if the devil came to you with a red suit and a pitchfork and said, "Hey, I'm here to ruin your day," you'd say, "Oh, no, you're not." And you'd stand against him in the power of Jesus. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't come that way. Remember, if the counterfeit didn't look real, we wouldn't be fooled by it. Satan comes with deception, whispering another gospel into your spirit, hissing like the serpent hissed to Eve, and instilling doubt into your thinking. What if? What if God doesn't heal you? Look, it hasn't happened. What if you're not really saved? What if God doesn't love you after all? What if you're not worthy? What if this happens or that happens? You know, the what ifs are almost always from the devil. They are meant to cause doubt concerning the things of God and throw you into fear of the future. Or what ifs are meant to drag you back into the past and keep you in self-pity. What if I hadn't married that guy or girl? Or what if I had different parents? What if I'd gone to this doctor or participated in that practice? Or hadn't gone to this doctor or participated in that practice? If only I had, blah, blah, blah. These types of what-ifs and if-onlys defeat you as easily as the ones that project into the future, because God does not want you in your past. He is the God of now. He is I am. Not I used to be, or I never was, or I'll be someday. He is interested in what you do now with what you know. Hear me on that. He says, how will you respond now to my ability? That is my ability in you. That is the phrase that defines our responsibility in this life. We are to respond to God's ability, and God is to work. Allow God to work through us.
Amen. Amen. I like that. That our responsibility is to respond and work with God's ability. Whenever you hear what if, you need to take that thought captive and examine it. Likely, you will discover that the devil is at work to trap you into disagreeing with God. Because, again, any disagreement with God is an agreement with the enemy. That may sound like a really hard word, and some of you may not agree with me. And if you don't, that's okay. It isn't important that we agree with each other. What is important is that we each and everyone agree with God. So if you want to think those thoughts originated in your own head, go ahead and take the credit for them. It's only going to make it more difficult for you to separate yourself from that way of thinking. Because if it doesn't line up with what God said, It doesn't matter where the thought came from. We're to cast it down. So tonight we're going to begin to remove the veils of deception that prevent us from realizing how the devil sneaks in. Knowing the truth is what makes us free. Amen?
Yeah.
So there are four main areas where Satan takes occasion by way of legal right to bring curses into our lives, to take ground from us. And these categories are our own personal sin, the sins of our fathers, which would be generational iniquities, involvement in other people's sins, that would fall under associational sin, and witchcraft and incantation. So we have personal sin, generational sin, associational sin, and witchcraft. All of these are open doors for various evil spirits to come in and to influence our lives. Many times, they work through curses that are already in the earth. We're going to talk about all these areas over the next few weeks, and we'll give you scripture references as we go along that will clearly reveal the wiles of the devil. And it will show how we, through ignorance as well as willful disobedience, can fall victim to assignments of the enemy and be living under a curse. Proverbs 26:2 tells us, the curse causeless shall not come. So you can be sure, if there's a curse, there's a reason for it. We've stepped out from under the protection of the Father in one of these areas of Satan's legal right.
So let's start with associational sin, because that is one area where we are very susceptible and often unaware of how we set ourselves up for curses. We are susceptible because we like people or we love someone and don't want to see them suffer. Or we want to be approved and accepted by them. Or we go along to get along so we aren't rejected. The need for approval and fear of rejection are two reasons we fall into associational sin. So what is associational sin? Let's go to the book of Acts and look at Ananias and Sapphira as our first example. In Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 10 says the following. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own power, not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. And Peter said unto her, how is it that you've agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband are at the door and shall carry you out. And she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in, found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Ouch. This is a great example of associational sin. Ananias was the one who sold the property and purposed to keep back a portion to withhold something. And he told his wife what he was doing. She had no say in the transaction. If you study the culture of the day, you will see that a married woman did not avail herself to those decisions. The man was in charge. It was his sin, not hers. But when her husband didn't come back home after a reasonable time, about 3 hours, the word says, Sapphira came looking for him.
Yeah.
Wonder why he's not home yet. So when Peter asked her if the land was sold for what Ananias gave them, she covered for him. Being a good wife, she covered his sin. And she was then made subject to the same consequence of the sin. It became as much hers as it was her husband's. And you know, we do that. We cover for others in their sins. And by doing so, we open a door for curses to affect us. I know a guy years ago who was asked by a friend for a ride to another friend's house to pick up some clothes or something that he had left there. So the young man took his friend to the house. They went inside to get the friend's things. And before they could leave, the police raided the place. It was a crack house. And even though this young man didn't know where he was going, he was arrested right along with all the others. And he went to jail right along with all the others. He was a victim of associational sin, and he was subject to that consequence. Wrong place, wrong time. I know another guy that hitched a ride, and it turned out that the guy that picked him up had stolen the car. That's hard luck.
I have examples in my own life of that, and I don't really have the time to go into it today, but this is very common. And there's many ways we can fall into agreement with associational sin. Codependency is associational sin. We end up calling evil good for the sake of love. We cover for a spouse or a loved one out of love and end up under the same curse as they have, or a similar one. We give our children money knowing they're using it for drugs or riotous living or poor stewardship or whatever that's not pleasing to God. But we don't want to see them in trouble, evicted from where they're living, or going to jail for writing bad checks. Any number of what we think are good reasons to help them out. So we bail them out one more time. But you know, by helping them continue along the wrong path, we may be participating in associational sin and holding curses in place in their lives as well as our own.
That's right. And then what about the friend who's having an adulterous affair? And she wants you to tell her husband she was with you all afternoon. You know, if you cover for your friend, you're in associational sin. You're subject to the same consequence or the same curse. Maybe you wouldn't go along with it, but isn't it the same as if she wanted you to cover her in a lie about how much she spent on a new pair of shoes? Sin is sin, folks. It doesn't matter if you crack the door just a little bit or if you swing it wide open. The devil is going to come in and the curse will begin working.
That's true. Let's look at another example of associational sin. In Numbers chapter 16, we have the story of Korah, a Levite in the service of the Lord, who thought he should ascend to the priesthood. He believed that Moses and Aaron had set themselves up over Israel and it wasn't fair. He wanted a bigger piece of the pie. So Korah came to Moses and said, "Who do you think you are to be telling us what to do? We are all holy." This attitude made God angry, and he was ready to destroy all of Israel, but Moses interceded. You'll find that story in Numbers chapter 16, verses 20 to 26. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and you will be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sin."
Let me give you a little more background here. Korah had gathered 250 important men together to come against Moses and Aaron. And these 250 men brought censers of incense to offer to the Lord. Now, this was the job of the priests who were appointed by God to do this. It was a place of special favor, referred to in scriptures as the sides of the north, that place of special favor. Moses had called for Dathan and Abiram to come up to the tabernacle, and in an act of disobedience, they refused to do it. Basically, they accused Moses of bringing the people out of Egypt just so he could rule over them. So here Moses is entreating the people to separate themselves from the disobedient. And some of them did. And those that did not were subject to the same curse and the same consequence. So Dathan and Abiram are standing at the door of their tents with their wives and their children and all their stuff. And the earth opened up and swallowed all of them alive, along with the wives and the children and the servants and the animals of Korah and his bunch. Their wives and children, their servants and animals did not sin, but they were subject to the same end. They were in associational sin. As you read on, you will see that the 250 men who offered the incense were consumed by fire from heaven. They all died. But afterward, the people murmured even more against Moses. And when they did, a plague broke out and took the lives of 14,000 people before Aaron stood in the gap and interceded to save them. As priests unto the Lord, we should also be standing between the living and the dead to stop the curses that are taking people's lives. And this should also teach us a really good lesson about murmuring and complaining. God doesn't like it.
Amen. And there are many other examples of associational sin in the Bible. And many of us have our own testimonies as well. Once we realize the impact other people's sins can have on us, we will find it easier to separate ourselves from it. The Holy Spirit in us will lead and guide us. If we will just listen to his voice and not to the voices that tell us we'll lose a friend if we refuse to go along with what they're doing. Or that it's okay to tell a little white lie so no one gets hurt. We know when we're doing something wrong. And when you committed that sin was not when God found out about it. People who think that they can get by with something are sadly mistaken.
That's so true.
And now when we can see that people who think they won't be affected by what someone else is doing are also sadly mistaken. If you cover another's sin, it will become your own sin. Satan will have a legal right. One last caution about associational sin. Because you see someone doing something wrong doesn't mean you're supposed to tell them about it. You cannot afford to put yourself on the seat of judgment of others and what they're doing. Each time you do that, you're partaking of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Described in Luke 11, 34 and 35, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, your whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, your body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkness. In these verses, Jesus is telling us that how we perceive things will determine our glory, our brightness in the kingdom of God. When we judge others, when we murmur and complain and see the negative, we have an evil eye, and we are not walking in light, but in darkness. When we think we're living a righteous life and we begin to judge others as unrighteous, we've just stepped out of the light and the righteousness of Christ into the darkness of self-righteousness and pride. So we are not to condemn others for what they're doing. That kind of judgmental or self-righteous attitude opens a wide door for the devil in our own lives. We are to stand in the gap for them and seek God's protection and guidance for them while they are under the control of the enemy. Pray for God to grant to those who are going astray his gift of repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. But always be aware it can easily be you. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall.
Yeah, and I want to interject here. You know, the word tells us to warn a brother. That's different than bringing judgment. So pray about it. Find out what God wants you to do, if anything, and if he wants you to bring a word of warning, then ask him to open the door for you to do that. Amen.
Amen. I think we're all under some kind of curse because of associational sin, and we want to pray with you to begin to break off some of that and reverse those curses. Over the next few weeks, we will continue to pray to break curses through repentance and forgiveness in every area where the devil has taken ground. We will take back the ground we've given over to him as we recognize the times in our lives we've agreed with the enemy, knowingly or unknowingly. Beginning now with associational sins. Are you ready?
Hallelujah. If you are, I am going to invite you to pray out loud with me so that all the host of heaven will be released to minister these words to you and see that it comes about, and the host of hell will know it's time for them to go. Amen.
Amen.
So pray with me. Father God, I come to you now and I humble my heart before you. I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord.
Jesus Christ is my Lord.
And I believe he is risen from the dead.
He is risen from the dead.
I declare I've been bought.
There I've been bought.
By the blood of Jesus. I am not my own. I am bought with a price.
Bought with.
And I belong to you, God.
Belong to you.
Father, I choose as an act of my will to forgive everyone who has offended me. And all those who have led me in paths away from truth. And those who are used by the devil to ensnare me and trap me. I forgive them. I release them from responsibility for any curse that's attached itself to me through associational sin. Father, I recognize I have participated with the wiles of the devil.
I have participated with the wiles.
In this area of associational sin.
Area of associational sin.
And I ask that you forgive me.
Forgive me.
I ask that curses of associational sin.
I ask that curses of associational sin.
Be broken off my life.
Broken off my life.
By the power of the blood of Jesus.
Power of the blood of Jesus.
And your Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Reveal to me, Father.
Reveal to me, Father.
Any and all times and circumstances.
Any and all times and circumstances.
Where I entertained associational sin.
I entertained associational sin.
So that I can repent to you.
So that I can repent.
Of those specific instances. I ask that you keep me alert, Lord.
Keep me alert.
To recognize this door.
Recognize this door.
So that I don't open it again in the future. I just want to stop for a moment and I know that the Holy Spirit is showing you some things, and now is a good time for you to repent for any associational sin individually, for those things that the Holy Spirit reveals to you. And as time goes on, I know that He's going to bring to your mind other times and other circumstances. And you will know, because of this prayer, how to free yourself through repentance and forgiveness. So just take just one brief moment before the Lord and ask Him to reveal that to you so that you can repent. And then let's go on. Praying again. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is come in the flesh, I now break and loose myself and my family from the curses of associational sins, from any person living or dead, with the sword of the Spirit of God. I sever the cords of associational sin that would hold those curses in my life, or that would reattach them to me. I declare I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I take back all the ground that I yielded to Satan.
Take back all the ground that I yielded to Satan.
Through my participation.
Participation.
Knowingly or unknowingly. In associational sin.
Associational.
I establish myself. In faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Faith in the Lord.
I claim the blessing rather than the curse. I will speak the blessing and not the curse.
I speak the blessing and not the curse.
Over my life.
Over my life.
And over the lives of others.
Over the lives of others.
You are my deliverer, Lord Jesus.
Deliverer.
You are my curse bearer. I confess you with my mouth. I confess that the power of every curse of associational sin is now broken in the authority of your name, Lord Jesus. I break all agreement.
Break all agreement.
With every spirit and spirit guide,
spirit guide
connected to associational sin.
Associational sin.
And I ask to be delivered of them now. I declare that the blood of Jesus Christ, is all powerful and effective.
Powerful and effective.
To accomplish my petition. Whew. Okay, now it's my turn. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yeshua HaMashiach, who is come in the flesh, I command every evil, unclean spirit that has come through the door of associational sin in your lives to leave you now. Come up and out from every cell in their bodies and take your nasty little symptoms with you. I speak to every demon, every demonic root of associational sin. I cast you out. I send all of you to the pit, bound, to be burned. Burning coals fall on you. You cannot rise again. Loose these people and let them go. As I am praying, if there's some specific thing that comes to your mind, speak it out. Command it to leave you. It will go by the authority in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that you extend now your healing anointing to flow through these people in every place where a curse of associational sin has caused infirmity, weakness, illness, pain, deformity, or disease. Flow your healing anointing, Lord God. I ask in the name of Jesus that you follow your word with signs and wonders, that you free these children of yours who have been bound by curses, and that you translate them into the blessings of health in every area of their bodies, their minds, and their emotions. I thank you, Lord God, for mighty testimonies to your glory and your power coming forth from them. As your children begin to do things they couldn't do before. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our deliverer. There is none like you. To God be the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Take a breath. I cancel all the cell memories of associational sin and the curses that followed it. Wash through them, Lord, with your river of living water. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ah. Okay, then. If anyone has a comment or a question about tonight's word, please push your star 6 key. That will unmute your phone. And if you missed anything, this word will be repeated on Friday night. Hallelujah. Anybody got something to say tonight?
Hi, it's Helen. I thought someone else was talking. This was very powerful, and the deliverance was certainly very effective, and it was something I needed very much. I can't pinpoint any associational sins, but there's just been tremendous warfare, and it has to do with things of the past, and I keep thinking why. It's like there's just constant attack, and when does it come where you just put the enemy under your foot and say, this is it, and this tonight is very, Amen. Very helpful, and I thank you for it. Bye-bye.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, next week we're going to look at personal sins and word curses, things that have been spoken over you, labels that have been put on you, all kinds of things. So, and we're going to continue. We're going to explore every one of these areas and shut these doors to the devil. Amen. Thank you, Helen. Anybody else?
Thank you, brothers and sisters. For me also, I have a lot of past, too, that's been put upon me, too, also. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Appreciate all the prayers.
Bless you, Mitch.
Thank you.
All righty then.
Hey, it's Gretchen. I want to thank God for deliverance, and I want to thank you guys for stepping up and just doing it. I couldn't say anything for a while because I was still yawning, and it just always surprises me when you don't think it's all that bad, and then you realize, oh my, yes, it's worse than you can imagine. So, praise God, I love it. I'm in it
Amen.
Till I'm fully processed.
Praise God. That's our job. Stay in the process till we're fully processed. I like to add, that's not baloney.
Gretchen, I've been missing you the past couple Fridays, and Miss Dickie, too. I've been on vacation. Sorry, I haven't called in everybody. I'm missing you guys, though. Love
I'm glad y'all. To have you back. Thank you, Mitch.
I'm on vacation. I'm in another world, I guess. Another state of mind out there. Too much going on with Daddy and things. Love y'all.
Yeah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Anybody else got something to say tonight? Hope you got some freedom. Hope you got some direction.
Vicki, I want to say thank you. Thank you to Jesus.
Yes,
thank you to you and to Phil. Thank you. It seems that this isn't spoken about very much or taught.
That's
is that right?
It isn't, no.
I think that should be like in 101.
Yep, you're right. I think that's why the Holy Spirit had me start with it, with the associational sin, because it's so easy to do without realizing you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you, Antoinette. And if there are no other comments tonight, I am going to ask Pastor Phil of the tribe of Levi to be our priest.
Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for all that is doing in us to transform us so that we can manifest your glory in the earth, Lord. That is our will, our desire. I thank you for all that you're doing in our lives through your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can count on you to set us straight on the way we should see things in our lives and how that we deal with them. To cleanse ourselves. Our desire is to be more like you, Lord. So I thank you, Lord, for your word. I ask you to seal it in our hearts tonight. And as Aaron, the high priest of Israel, blessed the children of Israel in Numbers, the 6th chapter, the Aaronic benediction I will do in Hebrew and in English. I notice that it is starting to be spoken at the end of services more and more. So you are familiar with it. But as Aaron the high priest blessed the children of Israel, the believers in God, the children of God, I bless you tonight with that benediction as you are the believers, the children of God. Yibarechach Adonai ve'yishmarecha Yisa Adonai ponav elecha yifunecha Yisa Adonai Panave lecha, v'yisem lecha, shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. I add to the prayer, at the Lord's permission, in Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. And we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your blessing, Lord. We thank you for all your blessings, all your goodness, all that you are in our lives. We honor and we praise you. Thank you, Lord, for your hand on our lives. I ask you to encamp your angels around your people. Show them where to go and what to say. That glorifies you and draws all men to you. Thank you, Lord. We are a thankful people. We bow our knee this evening in the name of the mighty God, El Gibor, the Prince of Peace, the Sar Shalom, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We will be here in the morning, 7:15 for the King's Table, and every weekday morning. Again, Friday night, 8:30, with this message, again, part one of how Satan gets in the door. God bless you all. And to all, a good night.
Good night. Thank you, sis. Thank you, brother.
Good night, Mitch.
Woohoo!